Hello and welcome to Awaken the Healer Within. I'm your host, Jason Prahl, and with me today, I've got Drew Cannoli. He's an author, a transformation coach, and founder of Organifi. He has helped thousands of women and men revitalize their health, ignite their vision, and shift the course of their life forever. After reaching a dead end in his own health, Drew discovered the chasm of difference between going through the motions and living with radical intention. He now helps people tap into that big you to create the change they never thought possible. Drew, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, my friend. This is great.
Your bio is perfect, right? Like your bio actually describes the essence of this summit, which is that we're all on this journey. And generally speaking, once, if not many, many times, we feel like we're stuck. And there's something that we're missing, something's out of alignment, something's off in our perspective that prevents us from getting to that next phase, right? So I want you to take me back to kind of the roots of your personal journey as you might define it, so to speak. I know you were in sort of the physical arena, coaching people with sort of body transformation and nutrition. Is that kind of where it started for you, or did it begin earlier than that?
Yeah, I think for me, it was a journey even from a very, very young age. And I know you've talked about this in the past, but trauma, you know, I experienced a lot of childhood trauma. I came into this world and my biological parents were meth addicts and they did heroin and all copious amounts of other extracurricular activities. Right. So I got to bear witness to that at a very young age. And I was severely abused. If I couldn't tie my shoes fast enough, my dad would put cigarettes out on my head.
Wow.
He would hold my head underneath the water in the bathtub. I was locked outside for a couple of weeks in the lightning storms, and they would slide my food out to me in the doggy door, you know, the little doggy door. So I ate from that. And then I would be outside underneath the porch while it was raining and stuff. So I've had these past experiences from a very young age that have really helped shape who I am. And I think trauma is one of the biggest blessings we can experience.
Okay, hold on. Hold on real quick. I want to pause on that because I don't disagree. And I'm wondering when you recognize that, right? Because clearly as you're waiting outside in a lightning storm for your food at a young age, you're not sitting there going, oh, what a blessing this is. I know this is going to be a gift later on.
Yeah. I think it's, I think for me, I've always been connected to different realms outside of the 3D. And I was visited by angels at a really like young age, or like luminous beings. And I remember one time this old man came to me and he was like 4 and he had this light, like this halo around him. Right. And he said, God has great things in store for you. And he pulled out a quarter behind my ear. And I didn't know who God was. Nobody was teaching me about God or anything back then, but I felt peace and I felt serenity. Mm-hmm. And then from what I remember, and my memory is so foggy, like literally this is like, you know, over 35 years ago. So I had this encounter with this being. And then 2 weeks later, I was having nightmares every single night. And I would have these horrific nightmares of this monster that was coming after me. And I would wet the bed every single night. And I would wake up in the morning and my mom would be pissed because she'd have to change the sheets and whatever again, right? But one night I went to bed and I saw the monster and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't real. I'm in a dream. And I woke up in the dream. And because I woke up in the sleeping dream, I'm like, wow, this has to be connected to the awakened dream. Mm. And at a young age, I knew that that monster was actually my dad who was beating me and abusing me. So the next night I went to bed and I woke up again and I held this monster in my hands and I had so much compassion for this, you know, 8 foot tall monster that was now this little baby that I was holding in my dream as a little boy. And I was giving so much love and just light to this little thing. And I felt so complete and so peaceful that I never had a nightmare again. Wow. And what happened was the pendulum swung into the awakened day. So I was no longer fearing this man because I saw him as this little baby that wasn't raised right by his dad. And I knew something was off. I knew that it wasn't normal, but I had compassion for him. And because I started to see through the eyes of compassion at that young age, the material landscape started to shift. There was no longer karmic resistance within my soul that was driving those alien bodies or those pain bodies, as Eckhart Tolle would say, out of him cascading into more trauma and more abuse in my own life. And I witnessed him abuse my sister over and over still. But we, nonetheless, we escaped in like 2 weeks from that situation. Wow. She got stabbed in the eye with a fork, got out of a window from what I remember. And the neighbors called the cops. This was like the fourth time the cops were called. So they came and took us away and we got put into a foster home for another year where there was more abuse and all these other things. But there was just horrific amounts of that at a young age, which I then turned into fuel in my life. And it's trauma's rocket fuel. It's just unpacked energy centers in the body that we can use to help people get results in our own life. And I think I've been a demonstration of that with what I've been able to create in such a short amount of time. And it's definitely one of the greatest blessings. I wouldn't ask to change it. Our mess is our mission, right?
Right. Well, I mean, your realization, your embodied realization at such a young age is something that it takes many of us well into our adulthood to recognize these aspects that this abuser, this one that's offending us in whatever way, is this little innocent being that was once offended in his or her own way. And that's not an easy realization, because there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of resentment, there's a lot of fear that's still wrapped up in a lot of those experiences. And so it's actually quite amazing. I've never heard that realization from a young child like that in such a way that can actually be embodied and carried into the world in such a way that's quite tremendous.
Thank you, man. Yeah, and I played around with other things too in dream time, because once I figured out how to wake up, I'm like, I set the intention to wake up again the next night, and I would wake up again. And I, you know, in the beginning of these dreams, I would often go to a bank and I would take money out of the bank and I would try to hold on to the cash as I would wake up, because it was so real in the dream. And I knew that if I had this money that my parents wouldn't struggle, because they were in a constant state of struggling. And one morning I held on so tight that I was assured that I had this bag of money coming out of the dream realms. And sure enough, like, things started to happen for them that I was witnessing. And I'm like, all right, so there's a connection between the dream world and our world that we don't give a lot of credit to. You know, there's fluoride in our water. There's heavy metals in our soil, pesticides, chemicals, petrochemicals, herbicides, fungicides, glyphosate. There's a reason all this stuff is there. And I believe it's one of the greatest spiritual wars that's been going on since the beginning of time to keep people with fluoride brain, you know, just keep them walking around like zombies, easier to control.
Well, what you're talking about is an ancient practice, right? I mean, this has been done all over the world through indigenous cultures. In Australia, the Aborigines are sort of renowned for this practice of working with the dream world. And so is a lot of the native cultures in
yeah, Toltec.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So it's kind of cool that you stumbled across this and you remembered that you can do something like this, right? And I use that word intentionally, that there's a remembering, because this is not a first time, so to speak, right? Like, we have these within us that we can unlock, that we can unleash if we have the capacity to awaken to them.
Yeah, I agree. It takes that intention and waking up to our divine intelligence that's already within us. So I agree with you on that.
That's amazing. And so if I remember your story correctly, you were kind of a fat kid, and that was part of your journey to a transformation physically, and something that led you to create Organifi and do the things you were doing in that world. Is that right?
Yeah, I the past aspect of who Drew was, you know, because it's just a personality, like a suit that we all wear. It's just a mask of, I was hiding and I was scared of my own brilliance. And I was very much a womanizer. And it was because of the mom wound that I had. I was never initiated as a boy or as a man. And because of that, I used food as an escape. So I would eat a lot of comfort food growing up in Michigan. Sugar, dairy, wheat, macaroni and cheese, German shepherd pie, like chocolate cake, cookies, brownies, whatever it was, I was stuffing it in my face because I was too afraid to face the emotion of what and who I really was. And as soon as I started to go there I started drinking green juice 11 years ago. I had a 32-ounce glass of green juice And I was like, what is this? This is a food group I've never had before, because I was so used to getting these macros, right? But the micronutrients, macros are like a 3-person band. Micronutrients is like a 100-person orchestra. There's just so many layers to the music that we don't hear. Lichen two, optimizing our cells. So the cellular matrix of the human body that connects us to our etheric field, our light body, our auric field, our multidimensional self. So as soon as I started drinking 32 ounces of green juice every single day, I had massive amounts of awareness and clean, raw energy all day long. I was in more of a positive mood. I started to realize, you know, because 90% of our serotonin's in our gut, I was just a happy person. I was walking around like a conduit for all possibility. I was just in this state of flow, ease, grace, 11 years ago. And I posted videos, like literally I shot HD flip cam that would just plug in your computer back in the day. I had the little thing. And I would record myself making a juice in my kitchen, talking to people, lifting them up. And sure enough, over 90 days, I lost 40 pounds. I got in the best shape of my life. Physically, I had a 6-pack. I was, you know, bench pressing 225, 25 times, like NFL status, right? And I'm like, what is this? And it was the power of nutrition. It was the power of mindset. So for 6 years, I did a Saturday strategy and a Mindset Monday every day on YouTube. And we built this following of like 7 million people. Wow. I started selling digital courses, teaching people how to do this. Had 2.5 million people download my Alpha Reset, which was a guide that teaches people how to cleanse 11 years ago, you know, how to do a fast, how to break the fast, like all the stuff. Paul Bragg was a big inspiration. Jack LaLanne, these guys, like the very first influencers in the US way back in the day, like the OGs, right?
Yep.
So I took that information, helped millions of people all over the world. And then I just continued to feel better. And I made it my mission to help more and more people. And it wasn't about me. I find in my life, Jason, that the more I chase money, money runs away. But when I chase change and true change in other human beings to help them cross the bridge of their own transformation, then all the abundance in the world just opens up, all the possibility.
I love that. And it's funny, you mentioned Jack LaLanne. I think that was the first juicer I had, was the Jack LaLanne power juicer, right? So, and I couldn't agree more. There was, in my quest in sort of this health realm, you know, which went through functional medicine and various other routes like that and Ayurveda, this juicing was like one of the first things that I discovered that was real. You know, so I had my own garden in the backyard and I was pulling vegetables and chard and kale and all these things out of my backyard and juicing them and literally 4 or 5 glasses a day. And I saw just this unbelievable shift in my health. And I hated it, by the way. I did not like it at all. But there was something in me that would actually make it, there was something in me that said, if it tastes really bad to me, and it's probably something I'm not getting and I really, really need. And so it was literally to the point where I almost was throwing up because I was not used to these very, very bitter and astringent tastes.
Yeah.
That my palate was just not compatible with. And over time, not only did it become compatible and I started to enjoy the bitterness and the astringent and all these interesting qualities, that I started to love these vegetables in a new way and saw my health radically shift, particularly in the mind, right? Like that's what I really, really noticed was fascinating. The body shifted and there were some things going on there, but it was wild how much the mind transformed in that process.
Yeah. I agree. Like with my own personal journey, the more I started to abide by those ancient Ayurvedic practices, like you referenced, the more intentional I was with my food. I started doing Harne yoga, which is a Bulgarian type of yoga, and it's the nutrition of yoga. So when I would eat, I would spend 30 minutes, you know, in silence, just looking at my food, admiring where it came from. Sending chi or prana, whatever you want to call it, to the farmers that made it, having reverence, bringing myself to tears dozens of times throughout the week, throughout the 2 weeks, of just the adoration that I had for Mother Nature. And my body just changed because of that. I started to have more respect and reverence for Mother Nature and all that is around us. And because of that, I started to give more self-love to my body. I'm like, this is a miracle suit that I'm wearing. And I've been so disrespectful with the trash can thoughts that I've had about myself, with the things that I've made up, the lies that I've told myself, the separation mentality that I've had with other humans, judging everything, self-righteous actions and attitudes started to fade away. And I literally started to see through this yoga practice of getting so still while eating the unified field and everything. My telepathy started to kick on. I started to like see and read people's thoughts much more effectively. By location of consciousness, like traveling to somebody without my phone and like sitting in front of them, having a conversation only to talk about them later and be like, hey, like I felt you in my presence.
And which is all a weird thing at first, right? Because it's like a practice. You're like, is this real? How real is this? What am I actually experiencing? There's a very interesting aspect to that, that you've got to get used to, right? Because it's not something that we're taught how to do. It's only in the direct experience that we recognize the truth of that nature. And I think what's crazy about what you're talking about here, and crazy in a good way, fascinating, is that when we talk about these massive traumas that you've experienced, you know, and others likewise have experienced, it's not often that we think that we can metabolize these wounds and transform them with these practices that you're talking about, right? It's logical to think that if I have this massive trauma, that it's going to take some massive intervention with some therapist and what have you. And sometimes that can be the case, and it's beautiful. But I love what you're talking about here, that you can do this with intention on something that's seemingly not related at all, right? By bringing more a conscious awareness to the practice of eating. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, or the practice of scanning your body, right? Like the Nidra yoga, where you just simply 20 minutes in the morning, you just scan every meridian and the energy center that you have, all 108 chakras, right? If you want to call them that, or wheels of light, as I like to refer to them, which is a great book. And you just sit in that space. And the more you do that, the more you have witness consciousness. You're able to observe the multidimensional suit, which is all this is. If it's happening in the body, it already happened in the spiritual, emotional, mental realm first. Like the thought that you had that's now manifesting itself as a skin issue, even a dis-ease, right, is proving it. And now we have science to back it up. Like you have all these Russians in the beginning of medicine in the early 1900s, the US went pharmaceutical, let's cover up the symptoms with this pill, this one isolated bioconstituent. And the Russians went the other way. They're like, hey, let's study the energy body. This is going to get crazy. So now they have the Metatron scan. They have the BioWell device, which is crazy. It literally scans your auric field, tells you everything that's going on way before it actually happens in the body.
Right.
But where's all this information, right? You have 95% of the money that's spent in advertising is actually the pharmaceutical industry. So they're just burying all the other advertising that's out there. And we're wondering why America is the most unhealthy place in the world. Like we look at what people are watching, what they're observing, and they're in a constant state of fight or flight. So
right.
It's wild. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Well, I love it because you mentioned the BioWell. I actually took my BioWell device to an ayahuasca retreat center, and It was over a week long and a few ceremonies with ayahuasca and other things too. And I measured like 3 or 4 times a day. And what I noticed over that week was unbelievable. The amount of output, and just forgetting all the details of the other things, but the amount of energy output that was showing up in the scan was night and day, right? So it was just fascinating for me to see on that level how something like ayahuasca and some of these other practices were showing up in a very, very real way, and how this crazy weird device that just looks like the simple box, you know, that's measuring the amount of little light that's coming out of each fingertip is somehow able to convert that and tell a story that was very, very accurate, or at least it matched up with my experience in that week. So I agree, like there's a different way that we can go about this, right? We can really get into the energy of things and start working at that level. And that's where I think we have the leverage, right? Like the nutrition, of course, massively important. The exercise, massively important. Sleep, these are things that we typically think about on the physical level, but I think there's a there can be a missing component to that, as you're alluding to, which is there's an awareness practice that goes into the nutrition. There's an awareness practice that goes into the sleep. There's an awareness practice that goes into exercise, right? And so maybe talk to me about that. How are you implementing this sort of like this mindfulness, this deeper awareness as you're moving through your day, whether it's in business, whether it's in exercise, relationships? How does that show up for you? What are some of these practices that you embody today?
I think the biggest practice is being in my heart as much as possible. Mm. So I'm constantly checking my breath and I'm pulling my consciousness from my mind into my heart. They say the longest, my Don, who I've been working with for 13 years, would say the longest journey you can ever travel as a human, sorry about that, is from your from your mind to your sacred heart. Mm-hmm. 17 inches, right? But it's hard for us to do because there's so many mental things going on. And the five senses that we have are very compelling. The physical body, be it in discord, pain, whatever you're going through, whatever issue you seem to have, is very convincing that your attention needs to go to that place. And because of that, it takes energy out of your superhuman, supernatural state, essentially. But when you're in your heart, when you're in the present moment and you're operating from a place of peace, serenity, your breath changes. You start being breathed versus having to breathe yourself. So my exercise is simply to allow my heart, the field, because the electromagnetic field of the heart is 100 times bigger than the mind electromagnetic field, to operate through me. Like I'm literally just witnessing it. Mm. So it's hard to be triggered when you're in a state of witnessing. It's hard to be triggered when you're the director and not the actor. Because the actor loves to react.
Right.
But my biggest practice is to simply respond and observe life from the heart's perspective. And isn't it beautiful to be in a place like that, where you're walking around and I get goosebumps all day long. And I know Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, divinity, you know, the universal I am presence, whatever you want to call it, is operating through me. And because of that, then all the other practices that I have are just secondary to that. They're like bonuses on a buffet of waking up, mm. right? But that big thing is getting out of my head, because the head's a trash can and the human body's a black hole. We spend so much time working on our physical bodies because we want to look good, right? We go to the gym, there's all these mirrors, like, look at my body. But how much are we spending on having our soul look good? And Manny P. Hall, he wrote a book called Secret of the Ages. Massive book. It's like this, early 1900s. He believed that the soul resided in the magnetic field. So the magnetic field of the human body, the more we tune in, the more we're in our heart, the brighter it gets. So these, in some ways, I think these aura machines, like you go to Sedona, where I have a house in Sedona, and you go in and it's like, well, take a photo of your aura. But they're really, I think they're capturing the essence of the person's soul based on that time and what's really going on in the mental spiritual realm. Mm. So putting in the work, having a solid, and it's not like work in the sense that I think, like I don't go to work, like I don't have a job, right? Organifi, we have 100 employees. Like I'm not working. My work is in the thought. So I'm in the conscious realm. I'm standing portal at the door of thinking, as Mary Baker Eddy would say. And because of that, I'm constantly watching vigilantly the thoughts that I have. So I'm on a train. I'm not on a train. I'm not just sitting there on a train on my iPhone watching Netflix.
Right.
I'm sending prana to every single human person in front of me, every alien in disguise that's dressed up, right, in this mask that we call the human personality. I'm sending love to that. I'm sending love to their future events that they may have. I'm sending love to my own self, because as a projector, right, human design, it's easy for me to be in somebody's field and then come back with information and like tell them where their vision is and what they need to do, right? Like that's second nature to me. What's harder for me is to like turn that light inwards. So I'm constantly turning that light inwards. What does the little boy of Drew need in this moment? what does Drew's soul need, right? What is he trying to express here with his brother, Jason? What does he need to say at this time? So I'm turning that around. And in Tai Chi, I do Tai Chi every day too, which is a great practice, by the way. Because when you're doing Tai Chi, you're turning that light around on you. In America, we're so used to external, shine the light on everything else. Shine the light on this Louis Vuitton bag. Shine the light on this expensive sports car. And we're giving away our power when we do that. So Tai Chi teaches you, like you already know this, but I'm just speaking to the listeners. It helps you slow down. And life becomes Tai Chi. It's no longer an exercise. It's standing outside in nature and just moving slow. And then all of a sudden the birds come flying in, and the birds are moving so slow that you can start to see the filament of light hit the sun a different way. And you start to see codes drip off the back of a sparrow or whatever it is. And you get that, those goosebumps again. It's like, I'm alive. And then as you take a breath, it's like, oh, it feels good to be in this body, right? It feels good to be on earth at this time. And you no longer take anything for granted. Like every breath is a miracle. And if human beings could start to feel that in their body as they go throughout the day, then all the trials, the tribulations, everything that we feel like we're perceived up against, all that shit just goes away. Mm. It's like, wow, I'm in control of this matrix, of this reality I'm creating. And these are the keys of the universe. It's to be in my heart. It's to listen. It's to see my brothers and sisters as one, not separate from me. To project love all day long, right? And just do what I love every day, to play, to remind that little five-year-old inside of me that even though I'm a grown-ass man, right? To play in every moment. Hit that play button. Remind people that we take this life, this reality, this simulation, whatever we want to call it, way too serious, right? And that's a reminder from me, because I still get caught in the trap of taking it serious. Ma'am, I'm an important businessman and I got all these things and all this. I got to pay my taxes and pay these employees. And dude, it's a joke, right? It's laughable. Like life is a school of having fun. We learn our lessons. It's to be so enjoyed, just entering with joy in every moment. So I think that's the big takeaway.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. And we share a lot of the same similarities. I'm a projector as well. So it's literally learning to reverse that. And I agree, the slowing down aspect is such, it continues to be such a teacher for me. And it's really slowing down to the pace of nature, right? And in that, things can unfold at such a rapid pace, if you will. There's a non-linear aspect to all this, which is so fascinating. And really what I'm hearing from you is that for you, it's been this recognition of the doing comes secondary to the being. And it's not that we stop doing, but we focus in on the being, and from there, the action can take place, a more aligned action, a more heart-centered action, right? And that really becomes the focus. And so I guess with that, you know, when people feel stuck, right? You coach a lot of people on feeling stuck, I'm sure, in relationships, in business, in their mission. There's so many ways we all get stuck in life. What do you see as some of the key drivers of the perception that I'm stuck, right? And kind of getting locked up with seemingly no way out?
I think the biggest thing that I like to do for people that are in that space is to simply remind them of who they are. Because for a moment, they've let this virus, this stuckness, manifest as that's who they are in the moment, right? So if I simply can show up and be the demonstration of the opposite of somebody who has perceived no stuckness, right? Just open vessel, open heart, open vision. If I can expand my magnetic field, right? So they feel the resonance and it's a feeling that they feel, then for a moment in time, that seed can be dropped. Like, whoa, wait a minute. I've been taking myself too serious. Like to believe that God or the Godhead or that could be stuck. Like what an illusion I have played on myself, right? And then be kind. Like it's laughable. like there's no judgment, right? Like God played a game on God's self to be stuck. Like Alan Watts talks about this, right? You've heard Alan.
Yeah, yeah. Love Alan.
And it's so funny because we all play games like that. Some people play the game of stuck more than others. And if I can isolate the loop or the pattern of the thought, right? Like I said earlier, my work is in the thought realm. Mm-hmm. So it's to go inside somebody's consciousness as well when I'm coaching them, see what kind of thoughts they've been having that have created the material manifestation of feeling stuck. And then get movement in some area. Usually it's movement that's easy for them. It's movement that they remember. It's movement that's in every cell of their body. So if it's somebody that loves physical, like you can look at a person, you can see their hands, you can see their face, you can look in their eyes, and you can tell what realm's going to move them more. Physical, mental, ethereal, air, like there's different elements that move different humans differently, right? Totally. Some would say the really woo-woo crowd of Sedona would be like, what alien, you know, what planet are you from? Like, are you Palladian? Are you? But it's really basic. It's a lot more simple than that. And when you see the person's heart, when they show you that, it's like, okay, you're stuck because you're actually at a point where you haven't been fulfilling your life's purpose for the past 2 years. You've been running on autopilot and now you feel overwhelmed because you see all these other people in your life that are living their purpose and have so much joy. And you feel depressed inside because you're not living your soul's purpose and desire and you're misaligned. So what's it going to take to bring you back to alignment? What's one thing you can do today? Right?
Yeah. It seems very simple when you put it in those terms, right? And it really is. But, and I love what you're saying. There's, when we're in that state, there really is this caught, we're caught up in this limited view and it feels like, it feels so real, right? It feels like it's everything. And I love what you're doing there as an embodied presence to sort of remind that being of another operating system, right? And there's this recognition, there's this energetic resonance that goes, oh yeah, there is a different way of being, right? And it's just this subtle coaxing out of that stuck feeling. And this is what I find myself too, when I feel that little bit of resistance, sometimes it just need a little momentum. I just need to get the ball rolling. And then all of a sudden things are moving in such an easy way, right? So sometimes it just is that simple thing. What are some of the practices that you can give people if they're feeling stuck, whether it's to reflect or whether it's to go out in nature? Just, what are some of those things that you might be able to just throw out there for people that might hit a few resonance points with some people?
I think the power of word is beyond anything we could ever imagine at this point. I believe in the primordial sound. In the beginning, they say there was light, but light comes from sound. So anybody that's feeling stuck, I highly recommend invoking. So, you know, spirit, God, I am feeling stuck in this moment in my body. Mm. But I know stuck is not the atomic nature that runs in every cell of my being. I know that God rests in action. I know that to move forward through the universe at the speed of light is in every cell of my body. The power that animates the sun is in every one of my cells. So I'm releasing and I'm removing any feeling of stuck now. Then I'd have them take a big breath in. And as I release that feeling of being stuck, I know that freedom is expanding the lungs of my life. The vagus nervous system, which is the tree of life, is in my body. The tree of life is now going out and creating opportunities in the universe that are providing this feeling of freedom now. The feeling of expanse is who I am. The feeling of moving forward in every moment, because I know there's no retrograde step. I know it is your purpose that is within me to evolve in every single moment, and it's happening now. So I'm searching for visual representation. I'm searching for hearing. I'm searching every 5 sense that I have and the 42 other senses or more that I don't know in this moment. I'm asking that you open them up to show me where I am free in this life now. And I'd have them breathe as they're saying powerful words like this. And as they're saying powerful words like this, they're building up energy. And as they build up that energy, then they're going to go out with new eyes, because all it takes is one moment in their day where it's like, oh gosh, I was feeling stuck. And then all of a sudden a homeless guy on the street told me everything that I needed to know in the moment that I've been battling for the past month, right? We've all had this happen dozens of times, but it's how aware are we of it, right? I know that the world that I'm in is a dream. And the true realm that I am from is beyond all of this illusion. So I'm asking for that supernatural realm, the spiritual realm, angels, whatever you want to call it, to come into my life now and show me what is really going on. How can I do God's work? How can I do the work of good now? Right? And then all of a sudden there's that line, because it used to be the supernatural realm had to ask to be called into this planetary experience, but now they're ready because there's so much happening on the planet that's suppressing our infinite nature, where they're like hearing the call even more. And they're on command. Like, they're like, okay, like, let's do something crazy. And then all of a sudden miracles are just falling all over the place. Like, this is the time where the age of Aquarius is now opening up. Ancient Egypt gods walked among the earth. People are waking up to their true infinite potential faster than ever before. And it isn't any wonder why they want to suppress it, why they want to dump chemicals all over the land and make you weak, give you fluoride brain. Like, it just makes sense, right? Like, the dark and the light, the more darkness is, the more light that there is, the yin and the yang. It's been this way since the beginning of time. So yep. I command the good. I command the light, and I move Drew out of the way, because if it's an ego thing, if it's a personality thing, and I'm not here to do God's work, then I'm wasting my time. I am a vessel, right? And that's it. So open the way up. Show me, show me, show me. Let me hear it. Let me see it. Let me feel it in my body now. And I'm using powerful words to command it.
I love
so
this.
That's number one. Number two is I would project myself out a year, 2 years, 5 years, and I would write to myself as if the future version of myself was writing to the present moment version of Drew. Like, buddy, like, let's have a sit down. We're drinking a green juice together, right? You're taking yourself way too serious. Let me tell you how successful you will be, right? When you listen, when you get into your heart. But right now you're just struggling because you love the struggle. You're just, you love it for whatever you're attracting in your life. If you're attracting stuckness, struggle, relationship issues, it's because on some level you're vibrating at that level because you love it. So as soon as you admit that you love it, it becomes laughable. Most people aren't even aware, or they're not even convinced that they've been materializing stuckness and struggle because they forgot who they are, right? So it's simply to remind them of that 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever problem you're up against, you timeline it out, it becomes a non-issue. It just simply goes away. So then I add, using neurolinguistic programming, what does it feel like? What does it sound like? What do I hear with all those 1 year, 5 year, 10 years? What do I hear from my significant other? What do I hear from my friends 5 years from now, 10 years from now about whatever I'm up against? And then all of a sudden, the material landscape starts to shift because you did the work in the mental realm, which is the fourth dimension that comes into the third dimension. And the spiritual dimension is the fifth dimension, which comes into the 3D. But these are just dimensionary talks. Like, it's just all, none of that matters.
This concept.
What matters is, yeah, it's just, you get it.
Right. Yeah, no, and I love that as you were naming kind of that second pointer, I could feel it, right? Like, this invocation doesn't come just from this, you know, writing something out and reading it out of the mental. There's an actual embodied presence that is calling forth, that is surrendering, right? So it's this dual act of surrender and also I am here, right? Like, there is a me beyond this personality that I call Drew, right? Mm-hmm. And here I am, and this is what I'm here to do, right? There's this calling, there's a claiming, there's and a surrender, but I can feel it, right? Like, as you were saying it, there's a feeling. And so I just want to point to that it's not just this mental construct that you're talking about. It is something deep within the body, deep within
the body. You gotta feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Feeling's the secret. Neville Goddard talks about that.
Yeah.
It's not the law of attraction, think it and it happens. It's feeling it in your soul. What does it feel like to be unstuck? And what can I do to feel this now? And how do I know I'm stuck? Because the mind likes to create tricks on you, right? It's like a bad dream. Like, the mind will just create narratives, especially if you stub your toe in the morning or you trip over something or you get a bill that's unexpected. All of a sudden you're focused, your antenna, because every human being is just a radio station. And we're just a giant collective radio portal materializing the mental landscape of what's on most receivers. And what's on most receivers is absolute garbage.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to hit on, right? Is that right now we're in such a fascinating time, right? I mean, there is a lot of energy moving around and there's a lot of waking up, right? There's a beautiful process going on. And at the same time, I feel like we have an opportunity to make it easier. We have a potential to make it smoother, right? And so my question to you, as we're working through this very interesting time that we're in, how do you go about this in your own day, right? Because we have social media that is dominating things. And as a business owner online, social media is a thing, right? So how are you paying attention to the world in a way that doesn't disrupt your own internal state?
It's tricky because I do get disrupted like everybody else. All of a sudden you watch one reel on Instagram and you're laughing your ass off. So all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, you're just mindlessly scrolling through as a zombie. I get it. Like, it's very compelling.
Yeah.
So how do you stop all that? I think it's a process of, we could even go into the 1 year, 5 year, 10 year again. Imagine yourself scrolling that long. What results are you creating in your life? Mm. Are you getting what you want? Right. And if it is, then good. Keep doing it. But if you want more, if you're desiring more in your life, then you have to set boundaries on yourself. You're the best person to set boundaries on. Nobody's going to do it for you. So I monitor screen time. I look at it as a metric. I also monitor how much face-to-face time I'm having, because that's a lost art, sitting down with somebody. Even this Zoom that we're on right now, this is lost. Like, most people would rather text than have a face-to-face conversation. It's crazy.
Yep.
So that's one thing. Number two is you have to change your unconscious mind, which is the hard work. 99%. You've seen the image of the iceberg underneath with the little conscious brain up top. You are a monkey riding an elephant, right? Your conscious brain's the monkey. The elephant is your unconscious. We think we're in control, but our unconscious is just running the ship.
Right.
And the way to change that is to operate from theta. So before you go to bed, 30 minutes before you go to bed, evoke, declare, decree what you want to see happen. Write it down. What do I need to get done tomorrow? And then your unconscious mind, with the last thought that you have throughout the day, will work on it all night long.
Right.
It's so powerful for us, because that's where true change can happen on an unconscious level. So you let your unconscious mind work on it throughout the day. And then you impress upon your mind as you go, whatever you're trying to create. If you're trying not to be used by your cell phone, you use the phone as the tool. Same thing as your mind. I'm not used by my mind. I use my mind to create shit, right? I use the phone. I set alerts every hour, reminding my unconscious mind, hey, you are worthy. You are enough. And I know it sounds cheesy to some people. It's like the old SNL skit where he's looking in the mirror saying all this stuff, right? But we have to be reminded, because it's so easy to slip up and get on Instagram and see people that are in better shape than you, that have more money than you, they have more significance, quote unquote, what we think, right? But you never know. That's a snapshot of their life. It's probably a highlight reel, as we all know. So remind yourself how great you are. I have testimonials, past testimonials coming in from people that have lost weight, that are sleeping better than ever. Their skin looks great from Organifi. I remind myself every day why I'm doing what I'm doing. So their images will pop up in my phone, right? Reminding me in that. It's like, hey, here it is. Why your soul's doing this right now. This is what you're creating. So I think using your phone as the tool versus being used by your phone. And I would say 99.9% of people have it the other way around.
Yeah. You know, as we wrap up, what I'm really, really taking away from this discussion is the importance that you're placing on the awareness and the conscious, mindful attention to everything that you're doing, whether it's eating, whether it's sleeping, whether it's scrolling on your phone, whether it's your practices throughout the day to get back into your own alignment, right? I think this is an important one, right? What you're saying here is that no matter how far along you are on the path, whatever that path is, and just call it the path of awakening, there's practices involved to bring us back. Because we get pulled off, right? It's in our culture, it's so easy, right? I mean, I've traveled around the world to some of these cultures, and when I'm there, it's so easy to be in harmony, right? To be at the pace of nature, to slow down, to be in the subtle field. And then as we get pulled back in the Western culture, it's just it's a nightmare in that sense.
So dense.
It takes so much work sometimes. And what's interesting is that what feels like work at the beginning doesn't quite feel like so much work down the road, right? It's like going to the gym, right? The first time you go to the gym, if you've never go to the gym, or if you've taken a long time off, God, it's the worst. I've had this. I've literally had respites from the gym, from working out, from actually working my body in a sort of fairly intense way. And the first time I go back, I'm like, oh boy, I don't remember it being this hard to kind of get myself to go. But once I establish that rhythm, it's like a craving. There's like this rhythm to it. It doesn't feel like work anymore. And the feeling of recognition of how much good it's doing for me is so apparent, right? And this is the case with any of these practices that you're talking about, I feel like.
Yeah, I love that we went over some of those practices for sure. And there's no end to what you can learn on earth. So there's always another, I don't want to call it level because I think that kind of sets up something in our mind. But there's always more. There's always deeper openings in right. The multidimensional you.
Right.
And that's what I'm excited about. Like where we're headed. Like this is getting exciting. So as much trial and tribulations as we see on the surface of earth right now, like our brothers and sisters and our ancestors and the souls that are not informed now are watching, and they're just, I mean, this is the greatest show in the universe.
Totally. Totally. I actually just got done interviewing a medicine man from Peru, a good friend of mine. And he said the same thing. The ancestors have known this, that we are blessed, that we are blessed to be here, that these generations that get to be here on earth during this transformation is such a gift, you know? Yeah. And so it's nice to be reminded of that, I think. And so that leads me to kind of my last question for you. Where are you in your own discovery? What are some of these things that you're working with now? What's exciting you about your path that's showing up as sort of new, so to speak?
Yeah, I feel like I'm at the beginning. I'm still such a student and I love it. Every day I'm asking for just more and more guidance. And a lot of it has to do with relationship stuff that I'm going through. Recently separated from my girlfriend. We were dating for 3 years. Understanding that I've materialized a lot of patterns in different relationships. So I'm healing those wounded little boy motherhood wound patterns once and for all. I'm studying the works of Francis Weller and some of the other great people on the planet that are just, they get it, right? Healing all that up. And I'm really sourcing a queen, you know, somebody who is just so tapped in that is in full support of the mission of what we're creating and the ascension of planet Earth, if we want to call it that. And I'm excited for that. That's one aspect. Two is I just turned 40, which is awesome, right? I'm excited about that. I literally feel like I'm 21, 22 years old. So there's things that I'm also doing in the biohacking realm for the biology, shifting my environment in such a way that I can optimize it to an even greater level. And I'm into that. I'm into the spiritual aspect of biohacking too. Mm-hmm. Controlling magnetic fields, my electrical body, my magnetic body, working on traveling with my consciousness even more, meditating hour a day is the goal, you know, just being in meditation all the time.
Totally.
And just so much love, like just how much love can I give to the planet and connecting and having more reverence for Earth, like having more respect for Earth. I used to be an Amazon hoarder addict, you know, 5 to 10 boxes of Amazon every day. And I'm just like, what the heck? What am I doing? You know, why? What's this for? What's the wound that I'm trying to fulfill? So there's a lot that Drew is working on, the personality of Drew. And in all that process, I'm just so blessed to connect with people like you, Jason, that are on the planet at this time. I believe you and I have done this before, and I'm so grateful. Like the Peruvian medicine man said, you know, this is the greatest time to be here. And what's to come? Nobody knows for certain, but all I know is this is the greatest ride there is, and I'm excited to connect.
Totally.
My brother. I see you, dude. I see your heart.
Likewise.
I see your soul. I see what you're creating. And I feel so blessed to be in front of all your people today, just sharing, you know, some insights from what we've gathered and learned.
Likewise. Powerful. And I can feel your childlike curiosity where you're at, right? Like to me, the more we can get back to that child, to that essence of a child. And I've got a young one. So to watch him and to be reminded of that. It's like, that is a gift. And if I can get back to that, right? Because at that point, the seriousness goes away. You don't have to worry about the seriousness. It's just, you're literally in the moment. And I watch him and and things pull him out and he's furious and he's frustrated. And I think without judgment, wow, he's really expressing what's here. Like, I hope to be able to get back to that level of expression, perhaps in an adult way, but to be able to feel those things and move those energies through like he is, it's truly profound. And so I just wanted to reflect that back to you, that I do feel that from you, that there's this childlike curiosity that is so excited about where you're at and where you're going. And I do want to thank you for not only showing up today, but continuing to progress on your own path and sharing your wisdom with the world.
Anything else I can do to support you, my man, I'm all in on Beautiful. This. I love Likewise. What you're creating in the world.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Drew. And thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one.